You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of Darth Amin's Rule of Two. I am your Sith Lord, Darth Amin. I'm joined, as always, by my apprentice, Darth Cornpuzzle. This is the podcast where we cover all things Star Wars as they are released. The Bad Batch Season 3, the final season of the Bad Batch. And today's episode, we're reviewing the episode called The Harbinger. How do you pronounce that?
Harbinger. I looked it up today because I've said both.
Words I've read but never said out loud.
Really? Harbinger of Doom.
Yep.
You've only seen that. You've never said it.
Never said it out loud.
People have said it about you, but you've never heard it. I get it.
Perhaps.
I did wonder, though. I want to ask right off the top before we get into that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the person that shows up in this episode the Harbinger for?
Bad things about to happen.
Okay. So it's just the Empire. More Empire is the Doom that's coming after.
Well, the big thing here is, let's just get right into it. I don't even have to set up what happens and whatever. Omega's playing in a cave with Batcher, and then she sees a spaceship like that. Where'd that come from? Turns out it's Asajj Ventress, right? So that's the big reveal there. Asajj Ventress, which we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
We said, who's going to be the one? Who's the one that Fennec called?
Yep.
And we said it was Asajj Ventress because specifically, if you need to catch people with a high M count, who would you enlist to do something like that other than someone who's force sensitive?
Ghostbusters?
Close. Mm. Force busters.
Sith busters?
Well, we don't know about that yet. So there's a couple of things, Mace. Number one is just the basic. If Asajj Ventress found space Mykonos, Star Wars mm-hmm. Mykonos, that means anyone can find them. They're supposed to be hidden. And she even says to Hunter and Wrecker, for rogue clones who are trying to lay low, you're failing spectacularly.
Great opening line, man.
Absolutely. Number two is, if the girl is force sensitive and we kind of get confirmation at the end of this episode, then it's a lot worse than the Empire is going to come find you. Because the Empire has a team of people who do the catching of force sensitive people. And they are the Inquisitors. Now, I'm not sure. This is still a couple of years into the Empire. I'm not sure if the Inquisitors are like a formal thing yet. But I know they have Jedi Hunters. And so it would seem to me that if you have people who are Force sensitive designated to go and hunt down Jedi and either kill them or turn them, then catching a 12-year-old kid who's force sensitive doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the thing to me is she's already being chased by people, by Hemlock.
She's being chased by the Empire,
by other forces. But you're saying more serious, highly trained, specifically force sensitive hunting people have Omega on their radar and will be coming.
The line that Asajj tells Hunter is, I hear you've been asking questions about M count. Very dangerous to ask those sorts of things, attracts the wrong kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
She's not talking about a couple of stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about the with the lightsaber to go two ways and spin. That's who she's talking about right there.
Can we talk about who Asajj Ventress is for a minute?
Oh, for sure.
Here's my quick little biography that I put together. You tell me how it stacks up and what I'm missing here. Mm-hmm. So she's a Dathomirian Night Sister.
Yes.
She talked a lot about with the Ahsoka series.
Mm-hmm.
It's Darth Maul's people. It's Savage mm-hmm. Opress. She was mm-hmm. a Padawan to a Jedi Knight named Kai Narek, who was killed by pirates.
But his Padawan on a deserted planet. They were stranded on a planet. And so he trained her.
Homeschooled.
Yeah, homeschooled, exactly. She never got to the academy. And to make matters worse, as you said, he dies before she's ever able to be, like, vouched for, basically. Like, oh, no, mm-hmm. like, that's my Padawan. So it's, in essence, she got homeschooled and there's no paper trail.
Yes, and then her college application got lost, and so she was forced to drop out. Then she joined Count Dooku, mm-hmm. got familiar with the Sith arts a little bit. Palpatine ordered Dooku to have her executed.
Yes.
She escaped back to Dathomir. She linked back up with Mother Talzin and those folks. Dooku and Grievous showed up and wiped out the Night Sisters.
That's how the Night Sisters basically ended.
And then she became a free agent.
She became a bounty hunter.
Okay.
She gets with Dooku. Dooku recruits her to become his Sith assassin. Now, as you know, rule of two, there's always two, a master and an apprentice. But the apprentice can take on an assassin, which is basically someone who is force sensitive and is handy with a lightsaber, but like is just supposed to go out and carry out these little dirt work, Charlie work type missions. Shout out to Always Sunny.
Take out the rats in the basement.
Yes. Traditionally, though, a lot of times what happens is the Sith apprentice says, yeah, this is just my Sith assassin, but is really grooming this assassin to be their apprentice so that they can overtake the master. And so the master's always very wary about like that happening. And sure enough, she became very powerful because now she's fighting Obi-Wan and Anakin in the Clone Wars on and not having her ass handed to her. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Anakin's scar, it never appeared in the Clone Wars show. But Anakin's scar over I watched Attack of the Clones, and then now I'm watching Revenge of the Sith. All of a sudden, Anakin Skywalker has a scar over his eye. Where'd that come from? Asajj Ventress is the one that gave him that scar. She's badass. She's badass. Like, she's not like some flunky. She's really badass with the Force and with the lightsaber. Palpatine feels this, so he commands Dooku, you gotta kill her. Because I ain't letting that little rugrat roll around here and try and stab me in the back. Dooku doesn't feel great about it because he does have an affinity for it. And he was, the truth be told, Palpatine's right. He was grooming her to be his apprentice. Mm-hmm. So him and Grievous go to kill her. And they end up exterminating the Night Sisters as well. Because again, the Night Sisters pose a threat to Palpatine. They know the Force. They know magic. And they don't, even though they use the dark side of the Force, they're not Sith. They have no affinity or allegiance to him. And so he's already got like, oh, look, I got to kill all these Jedi. I got to get rid of these. I can't have them meddle either. So that's how that goes down, basically. And Asajj Ventress feels very guilty. She feels like, yo, my people, my race is exterminated because of me. So she kind of goes into hiding. When she comes back out, she becomes a bounty hunter. She actually starts working with a very young Boba Fett on some bounty hunter missions in the Clone Wars. There is a book. I want to read it. I have not read it. I got this from Ryan Airy over there at Screen Crush called Dark Disciple. It's going to be my next book after I'm done with this Thrawn series. And in Dark Disciple, it kind of plays forward her life, and in it, and this was supposed to be in the Clone Wars, but then the Clone Wars originally got canceled, the TV show, so they never got to the storyline. You can look up the storyboards. It's beyond storyboards because it's actually animated, but animated poorly of the storyline.
The crude, not fully rendered animation.
Yes. Yes.
Like that one that we saw with Cad Bane, right? We were talking about.
With Cad Bane and Boba Fett and how Boba Fett got the dent in his helmet was Cad Bane, right? So again, in this one, it plays Asajj Ventress's life forward. She ends up linking up and hooking up with Quinlan Vos. Mm-hmm. Quinlan Vos, if you remember from the Obi-Wan series, we saw the writing on the wall that Obi-Wan read and we realized, oh, Quinlan Vos might still be alive. Quinlan Vos was a Jedi who fell in love with Asajj Ventress and then like, because she's kind of dark side and he's like, she teaches him some dark side stuff, but he ends up getting seduced by the dark side of the Force. And in that book, allegedly she dies, but clearly she's not dead because here she is, she's alive. So that's Asajj Ventress, very cool character. Very cool to see that she's still out here and kicking.
So is it well known that people thought she died? Was this sort of a surprise for her to come back here?
I got to read the book. I don't know when the book takes place, whether it takes place after this time period or before this time period.
So the last time you saw her was the Clone Wars TV show.
In the Clone Wars TV show, yep. And to the credit of the Bad Batchers, they don't seem shocked.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who she is. She looks familiar to them. They look up her file like, oh, is that you? Like, that's you. But it's not like, I thought you were dead. It's, you know, I remember you from way back when. So they are naturally very suspicious at first because, like, Fennec sent her and they know she's a bounty hunter. She tells them all this stuff. She expositions what M-Count is and says, basically, look, it's this shit in your blood and everyone's got it, but some people have it more than others. And those people are able to become Jedi, basically. And Omega's dumbass.
Omega does the classic, stupidest, oldest lie in the book. It's for a friend. My friend is being chased by the Empire. And then as soon as the Force gets mentioned, Omega says, does that mean I'm a Jedi?
This stupid ass.
My friend.
He spilled the beans so quick. And the funny thing is, Asajj knew it all along. Everyone just played along with her stupid child. Mm-hmm. Rigmarole or whatever. So Omega says, well, then test me. And I was like, I don't think she carries the blood drawing kit on her. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh yeah, like Asajj isn't going to test her like a scientist. She's going to test her like someone who's force sensitive.
Got to run drills, you know, get on the court,
Omega demands that Asajj test her. Asajj says, okay, I'll do it. Has her balancing a Meilun fruit on her head while she stands on one leg and keeps messing up. And it reminds me very Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san. Like, do it again.
Last week we had her teaching Meditation 101 to Crosshair. Yeah. Now she's in a graduate level course and she's way out of her depth. She can't figure it out.
I don't even call it graduate level, to be honest. I think she's teaching Crosshair how to read. And now she's in the first grade. Whether it's Luke teaching Rey, whether it's Yoda teaching Luke, whether it's Luke teaching Grogu, they weren't fluent, but they could reach out to the Force. This child has absolutely no idea what you mean.
This feels like it's Sabine territory.
Yes, it felt like Sabine. Not good at it and getting frustrated and getting in her head about it as opposed to relaxing, releasing, and connecting with the Force. I was disappointed later in the episode when she tells her to reach out to the Force that we didn't get a callback to The Last Jedi of Rey just putting her hands out and Luke saying, not literally, you bingo. As they're doing this, Omega says, since you know about these tests, that means you're a Jedi, right? And I love the way, like, Asajj's like, ah! Like, really? But I know their ways. I know some of their ways.
Nah, I was homeschooled, you know?
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
No, you got that. I got, like, I'm something like a Jedi. It's a little different. A little different color of the lightsaber.
We're not going to dump too much exposition on you here, Omega. We're just going to take it one step at a time.
Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair look her up on Wikipedia and figure out who she is. And she hears them talking about it. So then she makes up a fake test for Omega. Say, hey, you see that shit at the top of that tree, at the top of that mountain? You got to get it before the sun goes down. And Omega starts to complain. It's the sun's almost down and all that stuff. And it's all the classic, like, oh, that's impossible that every starter kind of Jedi has to go through. But she's like, yo, man, you can either do it or not do it. And so she runs off and goes to get it like a kid. Top speed. Yo, go get me my phone off the charger. Okay. And then they just go top speed. And while she leaves, she turns around and she says, why don't you just guys say what the hell you want to say? And they say, hey, you're a separatist assassin, da da da. And she's like, yeah, that ain't me anymore. But remember, you asked me for my help. And Hunter says, that's before we realized who you were. And they basically tell her, you better get the fuck out of here now.
She says, whatever you're planning on doing, it won't end well for you.
Wrecker says, we can make you leave. And she says very coolly, you can try. They pull out the guns and...
Oh, man. The tough guy talk off the charts. Like, mean, yep, every single person's got to get their tough guy talk in. Yeah. She uses the force to disarm them. And we just talked about last week with the Acolyte trailer, martial arts.
Yes.
And the force. Asajj is beating the bricks off of these dudes.
Yes. She's whooping that ass. Boom, 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 boom. Like very martial arts. Again, we see it a lot more in the animation because you can make them do anything.
Yeah.
She's doing the Ninja Turtle spin kick leg, tripping the person and then like fighting someone else as she gets up. And at the end, she says, why don't you good little clones just stand down?
And Hunter says, we're not good at following orders.
Oh, they don't like that. That's their catchphrase. But like, also, I could tell they don't like that. And then that's when she pulls out the lightsaber. And I'm like, oh, it's about to be on. She deflects their blaster bolts because Crosshair got their guns back and everything. And then she says, I wasn't planning on killing you today, but you're making it really tempting.
That's a bar.
That's a bar. And by the way, lest you believe like, well, it's the Bad Batch. They're Clone Force 99, da, da, da. We cut to Omega running up with the stupid ass flower. Like, I got the flower. And she runs up. Crosshair's knocked the hell out. Mm-hmm. He's out, down for the count.
Crumpled.
In a heap in the corner. Mm-hmm. Hunter has a lightsaber to his throat.
Throat.
And she's force choking goddamn Wrecker off the ground. And Omega walks in like, oh, Omega, what are you doing here? It's like, you're supposed to see me picking everybody up.
This is the Community episode, The Darkest Timeline, when Donald Glover comes back with the pizza and everything's on fire and like the whole party has gone to shit. That is exactly what happened here. I was just gone for a couple minutes. What happened?
Asajj explains like, yo, man, I was trying to be cool. We were all pawns of the same war. All that, none of that stuff matters right now. And they're still stuck on your da-da-da-da. And she says, look, I'm many things, but I'm not your enemy. Like, do you think the separatists were bad? The Empire is a million times worse. Trust me. And she says this, Maze, because she knows who's running the show. She knows that Palpatine isn't just this powerful politician. She knows his true identity. He's the Dark Lord of the Sith. He's incredibly strong in the Force. And there's nobody in the galaxy who will stop him. I wonder if she knows that Anakin is Darth Vader.
Huh. Has she encountered Darth Vader? Wouldn't she have to, like, be around him?
We haven't had that yet, because remember, last time we saw her was in the Clone Wars.
And yeah. So, I feel like if she saw Darth Vader, she would know, but she might not know now.
She's fought Anakin, and she must have felt the pull of the dark side on him. I believe in the other Clone Wars series, the Genndy...
Tartakovsky,
yeah. In that one, she fights Anakin, and Anakin goes berserk at one point. I think it's because she figured out, like, yo, you like this Padme chick, and he goes, ah, and he goes crazy and almost kills her. So she has to know that that shit is lurking in him. Obviously, Maul knew, right? He told Ahsoka. So, like, all the dark side users, I feel like they got a vibe about Anakin that, you know, this dude might be that guy. By the way, again, I'm reading I'm listening to the audiobook of the Thrawn books. And the second book is him. It takes place in two different timelines. One is Thrawn and Vader off to investigate something in the unknown regions at Batuu. If you've been to the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland or Disney World, Batuu is where Black Spire, that's where it's all supposed to take place at this planet. But also, separate timeline, in the past, Thrawn and Anakin Skywalker go to Batuu to investigate something and go save Padme. And so I reached the point in the book where Thrawn says, we've got to go. The only place logically could be is that factory we went to way back when we went to Batuu. And Vader is pissed. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never been. Now, this is just my opinion. I've never been to Batuu. I don't know what you're talking about. But like, Thrawn's like, oh, yeah, my bad. I had you confused with someone else. It's like he's clearly figured it out that they're the same person, which is pretty incredible given that Thrawn is not force sensitive. He literally just uses logic to deduce.
He's just that dude.
He's just that dude. But anyways.
Also, I want to ask real quickly about the significance of the yellow lightsaber that Asajj Ventress has. Is that to showcase her neutrality?
Yes, that is to showcase her neutrality. Like, while she is versed in the dark side of the Force, she is now no longer a Sith acolyte, a Sith apprentice, a Sith assassin. She does not, obviously, you know, she's distanced herself from that life altogether, which is very different from what happened with Maul.
Mm-hmm.
Maul is obsessed with the Emperor, obsessed with how he got done wrong. And so he lives his life, even though he's no longer a Sith Lord, he lives his life in a very Sith way. The obsession of the drive of emotion, right? It can never be anything other than what he is, because he's driven and focused by that. Asajj, I think, is a Force-sensitive person who knows how to tap into the dark side at this point. But it's clear, she don't want no problems. And most importantly, I don't get the vibe that she is a bounty hunter that would work for the Empire. She's very clearly anti-Empire, anti-Palpatine, which is understandable. Again, Palpatine is not only someone who ordered her master to kill her, but is responsible for the massacre of her people. But the yellow lightsaber, I think, is to signify that I'm not a Sith, but also the yellow lightsaber was the sentries, the Jedi sentries at the temple.
Yeah, we'll see a lot more yellow lightsabers in the Acolyte.
Yes, we absolutely will.
They're in the trailer, and we'll see a lot more people using them in that show.
Asajj basically tells everybody to chill. I'm not like that, but they don't really believe her. So she's like, fine, like, do whatever. I don't care. And so she decides to leave. Omega convinces the Bad Batch to let her stay. Don't leave. I convinced them everything's cool, but I want you to test me. So it's time for a final test. And so like, okay, we'll get on this boat. We're going to go out to the middle of nowhere to separate you from all these distractions, from Batcher, from the, you know, from Hunter, Wrecker, all these other. We're going to go out to the middle of the ocean. They get on the boat. As she's leaving, she says to Omega, stop smiling. It's unsettling. And I laughed.
Yeah, after she calls Omega an odd little clone.
Yeah.
Then we get some Cobra formula, She wants Omega to close her eyes and reach out. For what? Everything.
Yeah.
Ha-ha.
That is some grade A Cobra formula. Omega's reaching out. Meanwhile, the Bad Batch are all the way back on the coast, still stalking, basically, from afar with their... whatever the Star Wars binoculars are called. They're called bino things or whatever. It's stupid. Sometimes you could just call it binoculars, Star Wars. We don't have to be super technical about it. But I love this scene. As Wrecker is watching, Asajj turns and looks directly at him. And mind you, they're like at least 20 miles off the coast. And Wrecker gasps. How does she know we're watching? It's such a great delivery.
Omega is groaning. It's not working. She doesn't feel anything. Doesn't even know what she's supposed to be doing. It's a waste of time.
And then she says this. Why should I even listen to you? How do I know you know what you're talking about? And I said, bitch, you just saw me choke your friend without touching him. I lifted his big ass up off the floor. I beat all three of them. You think I just nice with the hands like that?
She didn't put two and two together.
That's why Asajj is reformed, because I would have absolutely shit on this child 100 ways. Instead, Asajj just says, I'll show you. And she reaches out with the Force and she summons these glowing fish. And Omega's like, holy shit. Like, how did that happen? And then she sends the fish away, but unfortunately, she also summons a big sea creature named a Varathion. A Varathion.
Robert Varathion.
Yes.
Joffrey Varathion.
All the Varathions.
It looked like a...
Sammy Davis Jr.
Turtle meets a octopus meets a crustacean.
Yeah.
I called it a turtlepus. But Varathion works.
Thing upends the little boat they're on, and then, you know, it grabs Omega and takes her under. Asajj has to swim underwater, lightsabers it. Meanwhile, the clones load up into the Marauder. They fly over to go rescue them. And then Asajj basically calms the beast down by using the Force to commune with it, which I did not know was one of her Force powers. Again, I do not believe that's a dark side tendency. I think that's a light side power in order to be able to do that. So thus further indicating that Asajj is not just a dark sider without a cause, like Maul, she is actually reformed.
Well, so Anakin could do that. Do you think that he doesn't?
I don't think Vader can do it.
So he loses that ability.
Yes.
Now that he's fully dark side.
Much like certain things you have to tap into the dark side to do, certain things you have to tap into the light side to do, but it's easier for a light side person to use the dark side, like sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they tell you the more you use it, the more you get seduced by it, and then eventually you turn, right? Which is what happened to Quinlan Voss, and happened to Anakin Skywalker as well. I don't think the reverse is true. I don't think darksiders can dabble in some light side stuff. I think once you commit to being on the dark side, it's you're all the way over there. So, which again, or you've got to come back,
mm-hmm.
which Anakin did, and it looks like Asajj has done as well. So they're safe, everything's over, and Asajj tells Omega, yeah, you don't have it. You don't have the M count.
Doesn't know why the Empire is after her. That's not her problem. That's not her department. And Omega says, thanks for trying.
I think she's lying to her.
So does Crosshair.
Yep.
And then Asajj says, about which part? Which is great. Asajj has a lot of bars in this episode.
She tells them to leave Pabu. Basically, like, get the hell out of here. The Empire's coming, and you guys don't want to be around when they find you. And I think Hunter says, I still can't figure out which side you're on.
My own.
And that's a bar. Roll credits.
She also says, if Omega did have the M count, she would have to be trained. So yeah. Was that just saying that in order to develop her powers, she'd have to be trained?
Yes.
Which we know.
Yeah, she's telling them what Ahsoka told Din Djarin and the Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he needs to be trained. In order for that to happen, the first thing that needs to happen is she needs to leave you guys. Not only because they're distractions, but also because, again, in order to be trained the right way, the Jedi way, they have to do away with connection.
Right.
Because if you train her and she's still around these guys and still has a strong connection to them, she will be seduced by the dark side because she's going to put their lives and their welfare above overall balance of the Force.
So you think Omega is Force sensitive? I agree. I think she's not much higher than Sabine Wren, the worst Jedi prospect in the history of the galaxy. I think she's like a 2-star instead of off the board completely. Shout out to Sabine. But it's Asajj saying she needs a lot of work. I'd have to take her away from you guys, the Bad Batch. You clearly don't want that. I don't think she wants that. I'm going to go do my thing.
And probably I don't want that responsibility either.
She definitely doesn't. She's after her own goals.
Asajj is basically the flip side of Ahsoka. I was in this thing, now I'm out. Doesn't make me on the other side, but definitely doesn't make me with you guys either.
And they crossed paths, right? Around when Ahsoka was under suspicion from the temple for blowing it up wrongfully.
So Asajj is the one that's like, I believe that you didn't do it, and tries to recruit her at that point, I believe. But Ahsoka isn't having it. I love this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. It moved the story forward. It brought back a character that we all knew and loved. And if you don't know her, I'm sure you're going to love her because she's so cool and badass. I want more Asajj. I don't want her to leave. I'm confident that Omega is Force sensitive because, again, that's how they end up cloning Palpatine. They're going to use her. I think this thing has to end at least them getting a sample out of her, if not getting her altogether. I do wonder now what happens next because everything has kind of been building up to that point. And now we've had that point. It's like, okay, now what? Now do we see Inquisitors? Now do we see the Empire coming in and finding them? I know that Star Wars Mykonos is a wrap.
Yeah.
This safe house is burnt. They got to get the hell out of here.
Definitely. Do you think they will leave on their own, or do you think that next episode somebody's going to show up and flush them out?
Somebody's going to show up and destroy this wonderful, peaceful community.
Damn.
In a very, very heart-wrenching way. And the Bad Batch are going to feel very, like, responsible and guilty. And maybe Omega's going to feel very guilty about it, too. They found them because of my,
Oh, well, Amin, next week, episodes 10 and 11, double drop.
There you go.
So we got another double week. Can expect some serious action. Episode 10, Identity Crisis. Episode 11, Point of No Return.
Damn, dude. Here we go. How many episodes are in this season? 16?
15 total.
We're almost there.
So we've got 5 more weeks, including next week. Double episode.
Yeah, we're almost there, folks. We're almost there. And when we get there, I think, again, this is the last season of The Bad Batch. They've let us know. Although I heard a new animated series is going to get greenlit. Did you hear about this, Maze?
I did not.
Yeah, so there's a rumor that there's going to be a new spinoff animated series after this one that's going to follow Rex and the three clones that end up in Rebels, old and gray. They're going to follow them over these next few years as they attempt to kind of rescue other clones. That should be fun.
And Gina Carano?
No, Gina Carano.
Oh, okay.
No Gina Carano. She's gone.
Damn.
Bad Batch has been overall so incredibly well done. I don't know if the highs are better than the highs of the Clone Wars or the highs of Rebels, but I would say, Maze, I don't know how you feel. I would say on average, they got a better average than either of those two series. Like, their lows are nowhere near as low as the Clone Wars. Bad episodes are bad. They're boring. And they feel as filler can be. The Rebels, bad episodes, don't feel like filler, but they just feel like capitulating to make it more child-friendly in many ways, like these silly kind of things. And I'm like, no, like, let's be serious. Or, no, let Ezra really get seduced by the dark side as opposed to flirting with it for an episode or two. This one, I think, overall, they've managed to be, for the most part, fairly serious throughout the life of the series and advancing the story as much as possible. I know season 2 had some filler episodes that we complained about, but season 3 has been, I've liked every single episode. I felt every single episode is meaningful and, you know, they're not dicking around. I thought season 1 was excellent as well.
Do you feel like it's because there's more of a overall plan in terms of the entire swath of all Star Wars shows?
Yes. Well, yeah, they have purpose. They have purpose. In a way. I mean, Clone Wars had purpose too. Clone Wars had purpose in, like, how do we explain everything that happened?
2 to 3.
To make 2 and 3 make sense. Because they didn't. They were just like, what? Really? What? How? And it's like, oh, that's how.
Somehow.
Right? So it had purpose, right? There's a lot of space in there, basically, for them to have purpose and then not have purpose. To have episodes that didn't have purpose.
And this is a little more focused.
Yeah. Rebels didn't have as much purpose. Rebels was kind of like, yeah, you know what? They made us end Clone Wars prematurely. We want to continue telling these stories, but we're going to pick a different era. And so, yeah, kind of building a little bit, a little buttressing for Rogue One and some of the other early kind of stages of the Rebellion. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we explained how the Rebellion started? But it's not like it needed it. Did it? That period didn't need exposition, although it was fun and it was well done. This is different, right? Because one, it's hyper-focused, but two, it has an incredible purpose. An incredible purpose to explain something that was an awful writing job. Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, there were holes, plot holes, but the story made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because they in themselves were things that were designed to have purpose to explain something else. So it's almost like a Russian nesting doll.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, there's another one.
Rise of Skywalker.
Oh my God, it keeps going.
And the sequel trilogy made no sense. It's not just plot holes. It's plot caverns. And so this show, along with a lot of other shows in the oldies new Star Wars series, were all designed, okay, how do we clean up this? How do we fill in all of these plot holes, however you want to call them? And, you know, the part that Bad Batch was tasked with is very specific. Cloning, force sensitivity. And so we have this force sensitive clone who we didn't know about in the Clone Wars. And now they have to, these group of Bad Batchers, they've got to protect her. Even as they don't understand what they're protecting. that is a very hyper-focused thing. And so I've always said that, yes, when you have like what the Acolyte has, which is a lot of latitude, you get to tell whatever story you want. But flip side, you have to come up with a good story. Here, they've got so many boundaries and walls that they cannot cross. So you are confined. But those boundaries serve as guide rails. So now I know what kind of story I can tell, and I can get really detailed here. And that's what I think they've done an excellent job of doing. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Rule of Two. We'll be back next week at a double episode. So it may not be as detailed, but we're going to get to everything in it for sure. For my apprentice, Darth Quarmpuzzle, I'm Darth Amin, reminding you to believe me, the truth is rarely comforting. That's what Asajj said to the kid when the kid wanted to know.